If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Crimson Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
And I am J-Clone 3.53.
I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, shoot.
Today we're going to talk about camels.
Camels?
Camels.
I like camels. Yeah. They got their bicuspids, right?
Bicuspids?
Yeah, don't they have bicuspids?
I'm not sure.
Like the sharp fangy teeth?
They have fangs. They have their canines.
Is that okay, it's probably different than the bicuspids.
I don't know what I'm not great with teeth anatomy.
You got your incisors, your cuspids, your bicuspids, and your molars.
Oh.
And then your second molars or whatever, I don't know.
So what's a canine considered?
Isn't that just I don't know. Is that just a sharp pointy tooth?
Yeah, it's like the fangs essentially.
Is that cuspid then? That might be the cuspid.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, that's your first pointy one, I think. I could be wrong, but pretty sure that's right.
I have no idea.
This is all from the canyons of my mind. I don't know from what I remember from being a kid. We learned about it in like biology class in elementary school. I'm sick still, by the way. Vicks VapoRub. Shove it up your nose. Rub it down your throat. It helps.
Yeah, I would not put that in your mouth.
My grandpa used to. I think I told that before. When he used to get sore throats.
I thought he would do petroleum.
No, that was something else. What was that?
My grandma would do petroleum too.
No, my grandpa, I watched him. He'd shove two fingers down in the Vicks. He shoved two fingers down, pulled a big glob out, and he shoved it into the back of his throat and rubbed it around his throat for his sore throat. And I was like, ugh. But I was a kid. I didn't know no better. I'm like, so I tasted it, and I wanted to puke. But I know, I'll rub that stuff up my nose. Maybe that's where I get it from. I'll shove it all the way up there. But yeah, he used to put it in the back of his throat, and he swore it helped his sore throat. I'm not recommending anyone do that. Probably says on there that you're reading, don't ingest. But I tell you what, he would do it.
It's written weird. It says, when using this product, do not heat, microwave, add to hot water, or any container with hot water in it may cause splattering and result in severe burns.
Yeah, that makes sense, because it does. It melts, or it
holds heat. It's like napalm then.
Not like holds heat, but it's like heating up, oh gosh. Like, like petroleum jelly, really.
I said like napalm.
I thought napalm, never mind. I'm not going to say what that is.
Napalm, well, yes. Napalm is basically jellied gasoline.
Right, yeah. I'm not going to say how to make it.
But it holds heat. Like it's like sticky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't just get it off.
Nope. It's like when the deep fryer oil splatters on you.
I'd say it's probably even worse than that because it continues to burn.
Yeah, true.
The oil is instantly cooling.
Kind of. It's just cooling down from 350 degrees.
I'm not saying it's not hot.
Okay,
it's
like when my dad got burnt by the hot plastic.
That's probably like, more apt.
I think it was 800 degrees, blew up and splattered over his face and arm and neck.
What bothers me is they don't have an actual ingredients list, and it's made in Mexico.
Huh. It's probably under the flap. You got to peel that back.
Because, like, they have their active ingredients.
Yeah, you got to peel it back.
See container, or see carton.
Oh, all right, we don't need to just stick on Vicks. We're here for the camels, remember?
Camels. So Jeb at the Backwoods Boogeyman did this a while ago, so I had to move this off the list for a while. But we're going to talk about Red Ghost.
Red Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of Arizona, specifically. The whole tale can probably best trace back to the spring of 1883. When two women and their families were living at a humble cottage near a place called Eagle Creek.
Sounds like a golf course.
Yeah, I think we have Eagle Creek near us. Like,
probably. Well, I mean, there's a something creek. Lost Eagle's Creek, Hidden Creek, and then Eagle's Nest. Yeah.
On this dark evening, the women were at home alone watching their young children. The men were off on errands. This was a tense time as the native general Gar Amoni is how I think it's pronounced, like Garamoni, and his warriors had recently passed through the area, leaving death in their wake.
Ooh.
So yeah, high tension area right now. So their so they were understandably that the families were waiting eagerly for the return of the men.
Okay.
Ever vigilant for any attack or any sign of attack at any time. At some point, as they sat there in the darkness awaiting for the return of the men, and weary of the native warriors who might come to kill them, one of the mothers went out to fetch water in a nearby well.
Okay. Fetch water or fetch?
Fetch.
Okay. I'm just messing with you.
It was to be a quick errand, but as soon as she left, the family dog reportedly began raising quite the ruckus.
Okay.
Howling and barking at nothing in particular, just going nuts.
What did we always say at the show? We haven't said it in a while.
Trust dogs.
That's right. Trust dogs. We need that on a shirt.
We have that on a shirt.
Do we?
Yes. Remember, it's dog. It's this little like dog barking at nothing in the darkness, but there's like a mantid.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
We have a trust dog shirt. It literally says trust dogs.
We've been doing this for a long time.
But yeah, it's like there's a mantid and a goblin and something in the darkness that the lady can't see.
The energies are a little different today in the room because we're not normal recording day.
No, and it's not a normal recording time.
No, everything's
out of order. It's your fault.
I know.
Just break the bowling alley.
I'm trying to fix it.
Barking and howling at nothing in particular. And as the woman was out there doing on her chores, when suddenly the sounds of screams, moans, and chaos erupted.
Uh-oh.
And she never came back.
That's crazy. I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
She exploded.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to ignore that.
A gravitational anomaly.
Don't confuse everyone.
The other women went out to the window to peer out into the... So you're inside with the kids, and Nancy's like, okay, I'm going to go get a bucket of water. Like, but you're all on edge, right?
Okay.
The native warriors have been going through, killing local villages, killing local like ranches and stuff like that, and all the men are gone.
So it's like basically like Jevu Don in the 1760s.
Yes.
Okay.
So she's like, all right, we really need water to do some stuff inside. So I'm just going to run the well's like 80 feet there. I'm going to run and get water out of the well.
I want you guys to time me.
Yeah. She goes out, disappears in the darkness. Then there's barking. The dog goes nuts. And you hear a scream and moan and then nothing.
Yeah, that's bad.
And then she never comes back.
That's bad.
And then so you just sit and look out the window because you're not going outside.
No, but you're thinking like those warriors got her or
like,
something.
Oh, yeah. She just got shot with an arrow or a gun or, you know, she's laying out there dying.
She got put in a headlock and choked out.
No, I almost said Randy Savage.
Oh, someone dropped an elbow on her from a tree.
Yeah. Drop bears.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they went to the window, peering out into the gloomy darkness, and said she witnessed something ominous and red, ridden by the devil himself, galloping by.
Okay. Sorry. I was going to make another wrestling reference, but we'll just skip it.
So the other women are standing at the window, and they're like, oh, she's dead. The Indians got her.
And then this red thing runs by.
A giant red animal runs by that is being ridden by the devil.
Huh. Giant red animal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Being ridden by the devil.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I don't even know what I would even be thinking at that moment.
I know. I'm trying to even just put a visual in my head. It's just every time
it's
it comes out.
It's pitch black. You think it's Native Americans killing her. And there's a giant red animal being ridden by the devil.
I just have like a cartoony version that pops in my head every time. I don't know why.
It was terrifying to say the least. And instead of going out to investigate, the women remained barricaded the doors and waiting for the men to come.
Oh, yeah.
With it being unknown of what just happened to her and with the red demon or whatever it was and the other woman had to survive at all. So they were like, we're not going out there.
Well, no.
There's a giant red monster being ridden by the devil.
And
Nancy just blew up.
You got it. I was trying to think of a fun name and you got it.
I called her Nancy earlier.
Oh, did you?
There's no names associated with this.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't know what you would... Oh, what would you do? Would you barricade the door or would you, like, go out and fight the red devil?
I guess it depends how much I like Nancy. That would
You also... I'm kind of picking on... But they have a bunch of kids that they were like...
Yeah,
you got to take that first.
You like, got to protect kids first, yeah.
Barricade the door. Like, Nancy's dead.
Yeah, basically. I mean, that's...
Nancy's dead.
That's what we're assuming.
I mean, what did I say? It's 18-something. 1886, maybe. 1883, I was close.
I don't know. One time, this reminds me of a story in my youth. One time, we were outside of our house. My grandma was over, my Nan, I call her Nan. She was at the house and there was a raccoon. You know, like in the drain spouting mm-hmm. And then right at the top where it has that little curve up and there's like a little gap up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a raccoon had crawled up there and was sitting up in there. And it was in the middle of the day. I think what had happened is our dog had run it out from under the porch. Mm. And that's it's only it got up yeah, there it and it just stood there because it had nowhere to go. So I just remember being like seven or I was six, seven. I just did it. 7 or 6 years old. And my grandma, well, we were all just sitting there looking at this raccoon. It was me and my mom, my grandma, my brother, and we were kind of scared because I thought a raccoon could kill me. And my grandma just went out with a mop. Like, just opened the door, went right out at it, and just shoved that thing out of that little spot with the mop. And then the dog chased it across the road. But that was us. We were barricaded inside from that beast out there. But my grandma went out with the mop and, you know, cleared up the situation.
So you're saying Helen should have went outside with the mop and chase off?
She could have done it. If it was my Nan would have done it.
It was not until the men had returned that they would discover what had happened. Venturing out that night to find the body of the woman who had gone to get water. Strangely, her corpse was battered and broken, almost beyond recognition, as if she had been viciously trampled and stomped to death by the monstrous beast. And it was surrounded by mysterious footprints far larger than any horse or any buffalo in the area. And there was just a wisp of reddish hair adorning the brush nearby.
Wow.
So they go out, and she is like a puddle.
Yeah.
This lady is just...
Trampled.
Yeah.
Trampled underfoot.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin.
And there's tracks everywhere. They're like, and they're odd. They are way, way bigger than any horse or any bison.
When you say odd, you mean like odd toed or just they're strange?
Like even toed.
Okay.
But strange.
Okay.
They out of all the animals they have, all the cloven hoofed animals they have locally... They cannot recognize the tracks.
All their local ungulates.
All their local ungulates.
See, that's what they love on this show.
Ungulates.
The science terms. The biology terms.
I hope somebody's at a bar and just uses the word ungulate.
And?
I just know. It's just like they learned it from here, and they're at the bar. Talking
oh, and they
about,
use the word ungulate.
And they're talking about like deer hunt or something, and they're like, yeah, they're probably my favorite ungulate to hunt.
Huh?
What?
Around here, they'd say that. What? Get out of here, nerd.
Get out of here, nerd. But yeah, so she's just stomped into a puddle. And they find, like, so this is one of those monster encounters where they find a bunch of evidence.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stomps. It's no mystery.
See,
they can see where it ran up. They can see where it ran away.
Yeah.
They see all the fur of this thing and just her crushed to death.
They see a trident that had, like, fallen in the mud and they picked it back up.
Yeah.
Like, perfect outline.
Mm-hmm. The devil.
Yeah.
Although it was suspected that somehow she had been, or somebody had murdered her, the hysterical women who had been by the beast, said the ferocious red monster and the ghostly rider had seemed, must have been beneath the death. Like it was the actual, like the omen of death.
Yeah, I would say so. That's pretty, there's no hinting around that one. You just squished them to death.
So on her death certificate, they wrote death in some unknown manner.
I think they knew.
Well, yeah, but they couldn't say, like, she got killed by a bison. She got killed by a horse. Like,
oh, right.
So it was an unknown thing. Like, they seen a big red. There was a bunch of witnesses.
Death by beast?
But what are you going to put? Like, the devil came and stomped her to death?
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened. I mean, let's just be honest.
1883. However, this would not be the last appearance of the soon-to-be monikered Red Ghost.
Okay.
In the days after the tragic incident at the cottage, there'd begin to trickle in reports from prospectors. So these guys are out in the mountain, you know, prospectors are kind of scary people because they don't want you to find where they're going to get their gold and everything
right.
like that.
Right.
And so they're out there alone, and they start seeing a red, cloven-hoofed creature prowling the wilderness. Often, with glowing red eyes and a phantom skeletal rider.
Hmm.
And some of these encounters provided rather harrowing indeed. In one instance, a miner told of seeing the beast vanish into thin air. In another, it swore that it had bitten and beat a bear to death.
Jeez.
And we're talking grizzlies.
Yeah, that's big bear.
Mm-hmm. So you imagine you're a prospector, right? And you see this demon with a skeleton riding on its back.
Yeah.
And it just starts, the monster bites a bear and then just starts stomping this bear to death.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it to see me.
And the other guy's like, it just disappeared.
Like vanished?
Yeah.
Like a ghost?
That's called the Red Ghost.
Yeah. I mean, like it dissolved away or like it just ran away, disappeared. Well,
I mean, this is a prospector from the 1880s. Yeah. I don't have a ton of information.
Fair.
He just said it vanished.
Fair.
But you can say whatever you want. Others said it had killed many horses without any provocation, running into pastures, biting them, throwing them to the ground, and then stomping them to death.
Man, dangerous beast.
One well-publicized account said was made by a group of miners who were reportedly accosted in their tents by something extremely large. And with one of them had dared to look outside, they said they saw an impossibly tall horse monster.
Okay.
An impossibly tall horse monster. You imagine you're in your tents and this beast runs up and starts biting the tents and throwing the tents around. Which let out an unearthly wail / gurgle before it ran off into the night.
See, now, if you didn't tell me right off the rip of this episode what we were talking about, I wouldn't have known, but the gurgle is kind of a giveaway.
Yeah.
Because guess what? We've seen it.
Yeah.
We almost could have touched the...
Atlas did touch it.
The thing?
Yeah. Remember when he was doing it? He's like, he hasn't done that in forever.
Yeah, I know.
This creature had destroyed the tents and left enormous hoof prints, twice to three times the size of any horse, as well as a path of trampled brush covered in this red matted hair.
Hmm.
Many of these stories began to take an almost urban legend feel to them, spooky tall tales from around the campfire, each more fascinating and fantastical than the last. And the Red Ghost, known as the Francisco Colorado, became almost legendary in a short period of time. People were terrified of this thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was seen as a demonic beast atop which rode a skeletal specter, a monster from hell itself, there to drag you into the depths. You imagine you see this thing, and after all these stories you've heard, it's like the devil from the Bible is coming with his monster to drag you into hell.
Yeah.
And you're watching it beat a bear to death.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I would move.
Mm-hmm. The myth, or as mythical as it seemed, one terrifying account would come forward to give a little more weight and explain the possible possibilities. In a case witnessed as a well-respected, wealthy local rancher by the name of Cyrus Hamblin.
Hamblin.
Who, on this day, was out rounding up cattle in an area near the place called Salt River, when he had a brush-in with the odd. At one point, he was surveying a deep ravine when he had claimed to have spotted an extremely large, reddish creature moving through the dense cabrepay, which is just like the forest, like that, like a gully.
Okay.
Which, considered the scary stories of red ghosts that had been going around, became very alarming to him at first.
Okay.
So he's like looking, he's checking this ravine, making sure no cattle had fallen into it or they're not getting too close. And down there, there's a gigantic red monster just kind of walking around.
So that's where it's and home base is.
And he's like, oh, like that's the devil from the Bible.
I would shoot it.
It didn't go good. However, as the beast made its way into the open, Hamblin saw what appeared to be something almost as unexpected as a ghost. A large red camel.
Ah, okay.
So this is one of the first, like, broad daylight. It's not, like, hidden.
Right, yeah.
And it's, like, not trying to actively beat you to death.
Right.
So, the really good account we get is this guy that's like, oh, it's a giant red camel.
And this was 18 what?
1883.
Okay, so they knew it. They should have known.
Some people knew what camels were. So camels, we'll talk about it, were, like, imported into the U.S. a little bit at this time.
Yeah.
The average person may have not known exactly what a camel is.
Right, like a rural farmer
but
or something.
But like this big rancher, he'd probably been to like stockyard auctions and stuff and seen camels.
Yeah.
Like he had seen a camel in a stockyard or something like that. They weren't unheard of or impossible to find.
Okay.
But your average probably rancher probably had never seen one in his life. That's you know.
A big like horse with humps on its back.
Well, some of them have humps, yeah.
Oh, only some camels have humps?
No, there's one hump, two hump, and kind of like flat back to camels.
I didn't know about the flat backers.
He tried to creep closer to get a better look at the animal. And we report that it seemed to have something strapped onto its back. When he looked at it, it appeared to be a dead body of a man.
Ah.
So this giant camel with a rider, or this red monster with a rider from hell, was a camel with a skeleton on its back.
Uh-oh.
In the meantime, the red ghost continued to be sighted, with many of these reports still maintaining that it was some sort of supernatural beast or a demon, which could vanish at will. And was not afraid of ruthless attacks, whether you were on a horse or not. A few weeks after Hamblin's encounter, a group of prospectors say they came across a creature near the valley of the Verdo River. In the case of the miners, they were armed, and they claimed to have fired in unison at the thing. But the thing had been impervious to their bullets and came and ate them.
No, come on.
No, and as it ran off, it dropped something, whatever was perched on its back. And that's when the prospectors took a look at it, and they found a human skull with some flesh still clinging on and some hair still clinging on to it.
Wow. So it was the rider.
There was a guy tied to the back of a camel.
Yeah. And he died that way.
Mm-hmm. And they shot the thing off. Although it was unknown who the poor soul had been, the more superstitious had claimed it was yet another victim of the meandering monster. But reality, it was probably the camel's rider who had died from the elements. His corpse weathered away as the beast of burden wandered in the Badlands.
I would imagine, though, he didn't die from just the elements, because if you're that bad off, you're probably going to not just sit on your camel.
Now, hold on to that. There is a... Okay. Well, we can talk about that right now. Yes, you probably would.
Because it's warm?
No. So there's a tradition, especially in the 1800s.
Okay.
Let's say you were really sick and you were had to keep up with your platoon or whatever. They would tie you into the saddle.
Mm.
And because the animal, whether it's a horse or presumably it's a camel.
They'll just go.
It'll follow the rest of the animals.
Right.
So there was a bunch of horses at this time that would walk into town with dead riders tied to their back.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yes, that does make sense of how a man could be tied to the back of it and dying, and then the camel just never making it anywhere where it mattered.
Yeah, I guess that does make sense.
Because they would tie you in. They would literally tie you into the saddle. But, yeah. So, it was probably the rider that died from the ailments, the corpse weathering away as the beast of burden wandered the Badlands. It might sound strange of a camel rider out in Arizona, but it would not be on the realm of possibility. Because the U.S. government had created the camel corpse.
Ah, the Camel Core.
The Camel Core.
And I can think of the P sign.
55.
All right.
So about 30 years before this, using the animals to help the army operate in the foreboding desert land landscapes from the American Southwest.
Okay.
So the U.S. government's like,
we'll bring camels out
here. We'll bring camels. We can buy them from Africa. We can buy them from Australia, because they're not supposed to be in Australia, but they're there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Invasive?
It brings some, yeah. Well, we brought them there for the same reason that we brought them out west.
Mm.
And then they just took off in Australia. But yeah. So they're like, yeah, let's you know, camels are a lot better. And there's actually, you can find pictures of the Camel Corps.
Oh, cool.
Where they were on giant camels.
Big, tall horses.
Yeah. Now, it didn't last long. The camels seemed to be perfectly adapted for the harsh frontier. And their ability to carry extremely more weight than horses, or even mules, made them very, very attractive.
Yeah, desirable. For
the U.S. government,
yeah,
at this time. A contingent of camels was imported and trained by the army, and the whole thing was promising that the War Department added funding and their full support behind the project. They were like, the Department of War was like, we're going to have a camel army out there. We're going to kill every Indian with camels.
It's terrible.
Imagine if you're a Native American and Indian, right?
Then these camels just show up.
But you've been fighting with the settlers or the expansion, and you're getting ready to fight, and you've seen, like, you know what horses are. You've seen horses your whole life. And there's this gigantic monster horse comes running up over.
That gurgles and, yeah.
And it's like, bites you in the head and throws you.
Yeah, that would suck.
I mean, I've shown you the videos of them, like, biting a guy and throwing him, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like, they can suck your whole body up to, like, your chest into their mouth.
It's crazy. Well, it'd be like, I don't know, I imagine, like, in Asia or something, anyone that's never seen an elephant yet, and then, like, an army comes in.
Like, with Hannibal, when he crossed the Alps with the elephants.
Yeah.
Like, that was, because they sucked. The elephants were not great for the army, but he wanted them for the imposing nature.
Intimidation.
Of a building-sized animal.
Yeah. That we have domain over.
Yeah. So, yeah. But the experiment would ultimately fail.
Uh-oh.
The animals were not just unruly or too alien for most handlers to really catch on with their, you know, ability or their adaptations for horses.
Yeah.
So, they were really unruly.
Just hard to train.
Regardless of this, they were extremely foul-tempered.
Okay.
Known for kicking, biting, and spitting abominations at anywhere or anyone they did not want to do. Camels were famous for just stopping in the middle of a caravan.
Huh.
And just standing there. You couldn't hit them and make a move, because if you try to do that,
they would
light you up.
Yeah.
They would kick you to death, or they would stomp you to death, or they would bite you to death.
That's wild.
So, yeah, they're like,
they're so big, too.
If they want to go somewhere,
yeah,
they'll let you go, but then they just like,
I'm done.
I'm going to stay here.
Like when you're taking your dog on the walk and he's just done. He sits or lays down. You're just like, come on. You're dragging him and he's done. So you have to pick him up.
And they would spit other riders on other camels.
Oh, that would suck.
And I just forgot the word. Curd. Not curd. Basically, regurgitated stomach matter.
No, I think you're right.
Curd.
I think it is that.
They would spit that. So it's partially digested stuffs.
Do llamas do that or no?
They spit.
Just spit. Okay.
They may have a little bit of it in there because they regurgitate a little bit too, but I don't think they do that on purpose. They are related to camels. They're all camels.
What was the name of that petting zoo place we went to see the camels?
Engine Ridge.
Or Engedi.
Engedi Ridge.
Ridge or
they
ranch.
They just had baby camels born.
Oh, they just did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both their females gave birth.
Yeah, you know, anyone in our area, I mean, if you're around Northwest Ohio, I would recommend checking that place.
It's worth it.
Very much so. They had exotics like zebras and emus and camels, but the camels were gigantic. The one had to be like 14 foot tall. If
I don't know if he was 14 foot tall.
With his head up?
With his head all the way up. He may have been like 11 or 12, 11. Maybe 12.
Well, when you're standing under him, it feels like 14 feet tall.
He's also a giant animal. He's giant.
Like, and his head came down like right.
I don't know if he's 14 feet tall. Like
that big one might have been.
I know who you're talking about, because that's the one Atlas liked, and he liked Atlas.
Yeah.
I mean, his head was... The lady said he's not very friendly, and then he came right up to Atlas.
And did the gurgle thing. Yeah. He was presenting his pouch.
His throat sack.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. His head was as big as like my whole upper body.
Oh yeah, easily. So, I mean, your torso.
It was huge.
People don't realize how big they are. Like people really think they're like a little bigger than horses.
No, they're a lot bigger, and horses are big.
Like they're bigger than draft horses. Maybe not weighing as much because they're a lot like thinner.
Their legs are thinner, but their body's so bulky though.
Yeah, but
I bet they weigh more.
I'd have to look. I don't know that. I don't know that for sure.
It looks, in my mind, it looks like they should weigh more.
So at first it looked promising. The trained camels they got, they cross the desert a lot easier. They handle, you know, these hard conditions a lot easier. They carry like 8 times as much weight as a horse.
Yeah, on the surface, on paper, it all sounds good.
And they invested a lot more money and got more camels in and then like, oh, these things are demons.
So what'd they do? Did they start breeding them and then they crossbred like to make some hybrid camel?
And the cavalrymen that were supposed to shoot off the back of these things did not care for the camels.
Yeah.
The camels got spooked every time they shot their gun, and they would turn around and bite you.
Ah.
They would just turn around and bite you.
So they're for arrows only.
Yeah, gosh. You imagine, like, they're coming to fight you. Like, you're in a Native American group, and these guys are, like, riding with camels. They start shooting the camels, start turning around, start biting them.
Killing their own people.
Like, those are monsters.
We'll just let them settle this.
And then they get away and start running towards you. Like, oh, that's a demon.
Yeah.
That's just a demon they try to put a saddle on.
Well, I think we found out. That's
the whole project was disbanded in 1863 when the camels were mostly auctioned off. And a lot of them were left abandoned and scattered at military outposts.
Mm.
And in even some cases, a lot of people just opened the corrals and released them into the wild.
Let them go, yeah.
Because they didn't hate the camels. They just were done with them.
They couldn't, what's it called? Animal husbandry?
Yeah, they couldn't care properly for the camels. The camels were not fitting the military's needs.
Right.
And they ate a lot, and they, contrary to popular belief, they drank a lot of water.
Don't they store it all in their hump?
No, that's fat. That's a common misconception.
What? I was always taught that.
They do have a cool water adaptation for storing water, and it's not their hump.
It's not their hump.
No, they hypersaturate their blood.
Wow, okay.
So if they've been a long time without water, like crossing these desert areas,
they can pull it out of their blood?
They hypersaturate their blood.
Yeah.
So yes, they're using it as they need.
Neat, okay.
But they also can drink 30 to 40 gallons
at one time
and like
and once, retain it,
yeah, and start like chugging it.
That's wild.
So that was the problem. Another thing, when they got to somewhere, they were just like instantly would drink all of the water.
Yeah, that makes sense though. For the, you know, you drink like a camel,
mm-hmm.
It's not because you can store it all in your hump, it's because
and the hump's fat.
Yeah, I see. I always
so that's how you tell a healthy camel or even a camel that'd been through some lean times is the hump will almost go away.
Huh, okay. I heard camel hump's good,
but people eat it.
Yeah.
The use of camels became somewhat inflammatory when miners continued to use them. A couple of the miners were like, yeah, I like my camel. So they would use it as a pack animal to go up and down the mountains and stuff like that. Like a camel. They're highly personality animals. So yeah, it came up. But continued to use them. But they started switching to the two-humped Britannica variety rather than the one-humped dromedary type that the army used.
Ah, okay.
So your one-humped camel is a dromedary. Most likely. Your two humped is like the Britannica, like the Siberian camels. Like
okay.
The more cold hardy camels.
Oh, okay. I have
no
idea.
The red furry ones, the really fluffy ones.
I didn't know there was differences. I didn't know my camel types, I guess.
There's a lot of the camels. However, these camels were no better at behaving themselves and were widely mistreated, leading to incidents where people would start beating their camels and then the camels would snap, fight back, trampling their owners to death and then immediately going to the next camp and killing those people as well.
That's why the Amish don't have camels.
Because these camels, even the miners would like, they would get mad. So the cavalry.
Yeah.
Were like, they knew if their camel stopped moving, it was just done.
Leave him be.
Don't start hitting it.
Just leave him be.
The miners are like, get moving, like it's a mule and start beating it.
Come on, you're going up there. We got to get there.
And like bites him on the head and crunches. And then runs over to the next mining camp and starts killing those people.
Oh, that's bad.
I mean, you imagine.
That's a monster.
These are monsters.
No, if I seen that camel we seen at that zoo thing.
And it was running at you.
Yeah, I would.
You're dead.
Not only would I be, if I got away, I'd never set foot in that place ever again in my life.
Well, like you said, it's 14 feet tall. Where are you going to, you can't climb and get away from it.
Break for the fence.
It's going to get you.
Just try to jump through it, I guess. I don't know.
Gosh.
The door.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Once again, many of these camels were abandoned and left to the elements, lost and forgotten, or just got away. Yeah. At one point, a lot of miners were like, it just walked away in the night, and I did not feel like going or finding it. Went back to a donkey. It was thought, though, that these did make it into the wild populations and eventually died. But there are chances that they survived. In some of these remote areas, camels are still being sighted well into the 1900s.
Wow.
And even reported in the 1960s.
I mean, animals, they can survive.
Specifically, camels have a history of doing this.
Yeah.
Like Australia is a big one.
Like the will to live or what?
Or no, just they get out and they're fine.
Yeah, they're just hard. They can adapt.
If you release a dromedary in a desert situation, they're going, like, they just live in Australia.
Yeah.
There's just thousands of wild camels in Australia.
Nice.
And
maybe.
A lot of people, like, a lot of places that order camels or get, like, camels in bulk are actually wild caught camels from Australia.
Huh.
Because they're a nuisance. Yeah. You know, they're a problem.
Well, invasive.
They're invasive there.
Yeah.
And they're mean.
Yeah.
And so the people around them are like, I don't.
Yeah, sure, get rid of them.
Yeah, please, put them in a semi-trailer. And then they eat them in Australia, too. Could it be that one of these camels, made aggressive by years of being beaten by its human handlers, could have been the Red Ghost? The mystery of the Red Ghost becomes more interesting when skulls and remains of fallen off its back were carefully examined. It was determined that strips of rawhide were used to fasten and tie the rider in such a way that's just the man was either dead or dying when he was tied to the back of the camel.
Oh, so that adds up then with what you said earlier.
Yeah. And they, so through like this post-mortem, you can be like, he was either on his way out or he was already dead and somebody tied him to the back of this camel.
Right, yeah.
And then the camel just kind of walked away from the rest of the camels.
Or he probably got all mad when they were tying this dead guy to his back and he finally snapped.
Although he was still alive for some time, or, you know, he was dead when he was on there, was unclear. In an article by the Mojave Counter Miner was written by this. The one question is whether the man was tied on for revenge or merely an ugly piece of humor by someone who had a camel and a corpse in which no use for.
Mm.
That's some of that yellow journalism.
Yeah. Speculation.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Who the man had been, nobody had known completely. There was also the reports of Red Ghost continued, with ranchers and miners reportedly being attacked frequently by the beast. The beast running out of the darkness and violently attacking people.
How is I don't know if you know, but camels like night vision.
They're fine. They actually glow. Their eyes glow a little bit. They have loose perk in them a little bit.
Huh, okay.
So a lot of the people that drew this monster from the times give it like glowing red eyes.
Right. Is that just from its reflection?
Eye reflection.
Yeah.
But they're just mean. And if the meaner you treat them, the meaner they get.
Hmm.
So they are definitely like a mirror when it comes to that. Like,
yeah.
But camels kind of a history of like, if you beat a camel,
it's going to beat you back.
Well, it's never going to not. Like, it's not going to forgive like other people.
Gotcha.
But that's why we kind of see these violent tendencies towards like random rancers, like that lady. It just ran into their house, basically, and stomped her and bit her to death and then ran away.
A camel?
Yeah, the first Red Ghost story.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, outside of her house when she was getting the water. Yes, yes. Okay, okay.
No, it didn't fit into the house.
That's why I was like, what?
It starts crawling in.
How big is this frontier house they built?
They claimed that the red hair of the monster was 30 feet long and had massive pitch black wings. It would swoop down from the sky to land on a astounding crash, knock wagons over, and set men running in terror. That's kind of towards the end of the Red Ghost tales.
Okay.
That it was an 80-foot-long monster with 30-foot-long hair and giant black wings that had the devil on its back and would just eat caravans.
So it morphed into that.
Mm-hmm. They said that they would have worthy returned to camp in the morning, and the camp would utterly be trashed with gigantic cloven hoof prints and red hair everywhere.
So it had to be that camel.
A camel.
Yeah.
Now, I really think there were several Red Ghosts. So with the tale being built on the preserved lands of Red Ghost, or something even more demonic operating in the desert, most people don't know. A lot of people believe it was the escaped camel. The last reported official encounter with Red Ghost was carried out in February 25th of 1893's edition of Mojave Country Miner. And it reads this. Another ghost is laid. Another of the tribe of Grant Hobgoblins that kept the romance of the mysteries of the mysterious southwestern desert is gone. Another one of the unearthly dangers and the timid Mexican women used to pray against has been departed. Mizohastic of Ore, was a priest that exorcised this phantom. Mizzo, as a rancher at a little above a gold camp in the San Francisco River, had woken up one morning and saw in his window of his cabin a big red camel bequeathing its triumphant pitch.
Ooh.
So it's doing the
gurgle.
Yeah, the gurgle. Mizzo took the dread rest onto the windowsill and blazed away. He got the camel. And when it went out to examine the beast, he had found, as well as scrapped up, and had eventually had a very hard time. So the camel was all cut up, had been shot a bunch of times. Like, the camel had reasons to be mean, it looked like.
Yeah.
They had been on him so long that the strands had cut their way into the flesh.
Ooh, the leather, like, straps?
The saddle, yeah.
Okay.
Has cutting into the camel. It had been on in the camel for so long.
Gosh.
So this is the last official report of Red Ghost Saga. Until we start seeing, like, there are stories, like I said, in camels all the way into the 1900s.
Right.
But this demonic, like, red demon that people are talking about seeing kind of ends there in 1893.
Huh.
So it really looks like either the military camels, the dromedary.
Yeah.
Or the Britannica camel, the two-hump camel, is the source.
The culprit.
The camels were being brought in because of their desert hardiness. Miners were using the Britannica. The army was using dromedaries. And at the end, they both auctioned them off or released them. Like, pretty much. There's not a lot of stories of people just shooting and killing their camels. Because, they, like I said, they didn't hate them.
They were just unruly.
Yeah, they were not for what they wanted.
And, you know, we know that back then, too, there were important hyenas and shoebill storks and bears and, well, I don't know, all sorts of weird animals. Probably dangerous.
But, yeah, so Red Ghost is a pretty fascinating tale, and it's some American folklore. And you can kind of see how it spread into, like, an actual demon.
Oh, yeah, because it was.
I mean, it was. I think the guy, Mizzo, who shot it, is like, yeah, he felt kind of bad.
That he shot it, or that it was all, like...
He felt bad for it. Yeah. Probably not bad that he had to shoot it, because it needed to put down.
Yeah.
But, like, you could tell, like, the straps were cutting into its abdomen. It had bullet wounds and arrows sticking in its back.
It was probably suffering.
It was in a lot of pain, and it had these giant, like, scars and scrapes on it. And
well, that would explain why it was so mad, mm-hmm, or angry.
And aggressive. So every time it seen people, people probably shot at it, too, and it just was building up. And then he opened his window, and it was outside his window, and he shot it in the face.
Sad ending.
It needed put down.
No, it did. It did.
So, do you think Red Ghost was a camel that the military released?
I mean, it sure seems like it. It sure does seem like it. Now, how red are camels?
They can be pretty red. Dromedaries are mostly like orange and yellow.
Okay.
There are some dromedaries that have much darker pigments, and you could call it a red or a deep brown.
Okay.
Britannica camels can be like red.
Guessing there's nothing.
Not out. Like stop sign red or anything
that.
But like human, like what you'd call human hair, like I guess, deep red.
I'm trying to think of, okay, gotcha. I'm trying to think of any other animals out there in Arizona that have like a reddish color to them.
So it would be like a red cow.
Yeah.
Where it's not like a ginger.
I just wonder if there's not many red animals in the desert out there to where they see it and they're like, well, that's red, even though it's like an orange. But to them, it's red.
I mean, I'd seen it being like that deep brown red.
Yeah.
Like a longhorn and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah.
Which they had thousands and thousands of cattle, and this thing was murdering cows. I imagine that's where some of the deep gouges and like big scrapes it had.
Do horses come in red?
Yeah.
Like, do they call it red though?
Yeah.
Okay, so I wonder if it's just like that. Same color as a red horse.
That's what that deep brown red kind of color.
Yeah.
The same thing you call a dog red.
Yes, exactly. Or like you call a dog blue and it's not blue. Yeah. It's like that
purple
gray or.
Yeah, so
whatever.
You think it was a camel? I will say some people think it was the ghost of the camel. Hmm. Some people think it was actually like a supernatural being. That, like a camel that was beat to death, or they actually like a ghost rider.
Well, I mean, that's always a possibility. You know, the pale, what's that ghost? Why can't I think of it? The guy that rode on the horse, but he had no head. Why am I blanking on his name?
Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
The Headless Horseman.
Headless Horseman. Gosh.
The Headless Camel Man.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's stories like that. So, yes, of course, I guess that's a possibility. But, no, it really does sound just like a...
Somebody tied this guy to a camel and it ran off and then...
Or, like you said, what if it was a military caravan and he was sick? They tied him to
it. That's what I think happened.
And what if in the process of them tying him to it, because, you know, he's dying, he can't do it himself, and they tie it, like, a little extra tight?
I was even thinking that it was flopping, like his body, his top half was flopping after he died.
Could be that.
And that really making it mad.
Or I was suggesting, what if they tied it too tight and that was like upset it, and then it like went nuts and killed whoever was doing it, and then it just ran off and the guy died because he was strapped onto it so tight.
I could just see it running off and then being like, we're not going after that thing.
No, sorry, Ted.
Sorry, Ted. You were dying. He got bit by a rattlesnake anyways.
It was probably that, maybe that camel was the one that killed him in the first place.
A different camel had kicked him.
So they strapped into this one. Yeah. And this one, now this one's all mad.
Like, I'm not the one that kicked him to death. Why do I got to carry him?
Man, I don't know. All I know is I don't want to be on the other end of a mad camel.
We're going to have camels.
You know, Joe, and the only camel I want is Joe Camel.
Don't promote cigarette smoking.
I'm not. He was just a cool camel. He's the only cool. He's the only camel mascot I can think of. Is there another one?
No.
I can't think of one.
So you just think this was a normal camel?
Well, not a normal camel, but
a mad camel.
A mad camel.
I think that's normal.
What if it got bit by something and it did drive it mad?
We just talked about rabies and how that doesn't really...
Yeah, rabies would have killed it, yeah. But I don't know.
No, I mean, they're just kind of known for, like...
mad camel disease.
Being mean, especially if they've been mean, too.
They just have a bad temperament.
Yeah. So there's the short story of Red Ghost.
The Red Ghost of Arizona.
Don't beat a camel.
Yeah, be nice to animals.
It's not an elephant.
What's that mean?
Okay, remember Connor was telling us about that like how...
He beats elephants?
No. How in India, they're rescue elephants, like,
oh,
they still
yeah.
get even scared of sticks and stuff like that.
And they're these giant beasts.
And they start beating them when they're babies.
That's so sad.
Not the punji stick. I always use the wrong word, but like right, the bull stick or whatever.
The bull whip.
Because they do it with cows and horses and stuff, too. It's not a great practice because it's running fear over them.
Right, yeah. I'm sure the meat tastes good for the cows, or their milk's good, you know, when you have them pumped full of fear.
I mean, I think that's more for bulls.
Still.
Yeah. All right, I've been the Great and Powerful Mystery.
And I've been Jay Clone, I think, 3.53.
All right, we'll catch you next week, guys. Bye!
Bye!
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cribs of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jay Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.